you pray, ask God to help us tonight. And I'm going to preach on broken nets. Broken nets. If I titled the message tonight, it would be When the Lord Commandeers Your Boat. When the Lord Commandeers Your Boat. And man, honestly, all of us tonight, we really need the Lord to commandeer our ship. Amen. Amen. And we'll let Him take over. We'll see what happens when we let the Lord take over, no matter what we're doing in our life, when we let the Lord take over. And God uses broken things to get our attention and uses broken things to magnify Himself. And let's look tonight in Genesis, or I don't know why I keep saying Genesis. I say Genesis because I'm looking down and I see Gennesaret, and that's why I'm there in verse number 1, and my mind automatically goes to Genesis, but it's not Genesis, okay? We're in Luke chapter number 5. The Bible said, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and He taught the people out of the ship. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You, God, for Lord, for the privilege, Lord, that You've given us, God, to gather in Your house again this afternoon. Lord, touch our physical ailments, God, at this very moment. God, Lord, I pray they'd not be a hindrance, God, to the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I pray You would touch my head, Lord, my lungs. God, I pray You'd help me. God, I pray, God, that You'd be at the congregation and help them tonight. I pray You'd give them ears to hear and a heart to understand. God, I pray the Spirit of God would preach to our heart. Lord, I pray, God, that, Lord, You'd commandeer our boat. And Lord God, You would, Lord, help us, God, get a bountiful supply, Lord, of our needs, God, in our life. And Lord, I pray You'd help us to see, God, just how, Lord, worthy You are and unworthy, God, we are. Lord, I pray that You'd use the Word of God tonight, Lord, to exhort us, God. Lord, reprove us, rebuke us, and Lord, exhort us with all longsuffering. Help us, Lord, tonight, I pray. Thank You for coming by and helping us this morning. Thank You, God, for Your sweet presence. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Notice here in verse number 1, if you're taking notes tonight, the crowd, and that's our first point that we want to look at. And the Bible said, it came to pass as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Understand this, the crowd there had Jesus was gathered around the Lord. And notice there, the Bible says that they pressed upon Him to hear the word of God. Now, as you read and you study that word press, it means that to call out, to push at, to demand. And they understand as the crowd was there that afternoon, and the Lord there was standing there, they were crying out to Him, and they were pressing Him to teach and to preach more of the Word of God. And as He stood there by the lake and the crowd surrounded Him, He kind of got overwhelmed and He got overcome. And as He looked there, and I thought about this, you know, as they pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God, you know, there's still a crowd out there today, and I'm part of that crowd that needs to hear the Word of God. I need to hear what Jesus has to say to me. I mean, so often in our lives we think, well, the preachers, you know, they've got it all figured out and they've got all the answers and they don't need nothing from God. They don't need preaching. I'll be honest with you, if a preacher's honest with you, he needs more preaching than he does. Amen? He does. He needs preaching. He needs to be fed. He needs the Word of God. But understand, we need the Word of God in our life. We need the teaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God. But understand this, the world needs the Word of God. We was talking in men's prayer room tonight about the condition of our world and our nation and what's going on. And man, that leftist crowd and that crowd of no morality and that crowd of hate and that crowd of dissension. And man, they're out there burning, pro-life centers and burning cities and burning towns because of they're not getting their way. A bunch of spoiled brats is what they are. And but understand this, the Word of God can change the hearts and lives of people. Amen. It changed you, didn't it?
Amen.
And the people need the Word of God.
Amen.
We need the Word of God. And as they were there, the crowd pressed upon him to hear the Word of God. Now notice the commandeering of the boat. Luke 5:2. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Understand this, the boats was there, but there wasn't nobody in them. As he looked there upon the sea that day, and he was there on the edge of the lake, and they call that the Lake of Gennesaret, but they also call it the sea, and as he was there, and he looked, and he seen these two boats, and the fishermen were going out of it, they'd washed in their net, they'd fished all night long, they was there, and as they were there, they're being faithful to their duty. Now understand this, is that just because they wasn't in their boat does not mean that they wasn't being faithful to their duty. Notice as they, what the Bible says about these men was that the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. These fishermen were out of their boat, but they were being faithful stewards to what God had given them. They were taking care of what God had provided for them to make a living for themselves. They didn't leave it wadded up and throw it around. They didn't just kind of cast it to the side and say, well, I'll take care of it later. But they were taking care of what God had given them. These men were faithful stewards. But at this time, they were not in their boats. And the Lord took it upon Himself there to get into one of the boats. Look in verse number 3, and here's where the Lord commandeered the boat. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon. Now, I don't understand, know exactly what happened between verses 2 and verse 3. If Simon and them was there, when I first started studying the Word of God, I was thinking about them being on the docks, okay, and taking hoses and washing. But now you've got to understand and realize they didn't have water hoses. They was washing their nets in the edge of the water there, okay? They were there in the edge of the water washing their nets. And it says Jesus stepped out on their boat there that day. He beckoned Simon. And notice here, understand this, what happens. And let me say this, let me remind you, and I need reminding this, and you need reminding this, that the work of God always takes precedence over the work of man. These men were washing their nets. They were being studious. They were being faithful stewards. They were taking care. But as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ called them and said, give them a command, their work stopped so the work of God could proceed. And may I say unto you, the biggest dangers in our society today and in our lives as Christians is when we let the work of man take precedence over the work of God. And man, that's why we ought to be at the house of God every time we... I know sometimes our ox get in the ditch, but sometimes we push him in the ditch, amen? I mean, I'm honest, but no, never let man's work take precedence over God's work. Notice there as they got the Lord commandeered the boat. Notice here, Peter here that was the captain of the ship finally became a servant. And may I say unto you, so often in our lives as we try to think we have our boat and we are going to sell it our way and do it our things, and then all of a sudden the Lord gets involved and man, all we can do is become the servant. But he wasn't captain in the boat no more. I mean, this was Peter's boat. Whether he got it from his dad or whether he had purchased it himself, this was Simon's boat. But as soon as the Lord stepped on board, understand it, the Lord was the one in charge. And may I say unto you, no matter what we have in our life, may we let the Lord, may we ask the Lord to take control of our boat. May we ask Him to step on board and guide it and direct it and give us the directions that we need. Because we look at this, as Jesus stepped on the board of that ship there that day, He commandeered it, He took over, He became the one in the command. And He says here, He says, He told Simon, He prayed him. He asked him, he said, thrust out a little from the land. He said, get out away from the edge a little bit. He said, that way the people can see me and I can preach the word of God and they can hear me. And so as Peter there, he launched out a little bit. Notice the obedience of Peter there when the Lord said, hey, thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, as I was studying this afternoon, I thought about the different things that the Lord used to teach people. And I thank God, as I said this morning, for my church. Thank God that I belong to a local church. But understand this, this wasn't a church. This wasn't an ordinary place of gathering. The Lord took whatever opportunity was presented when the crowd was around to teach them the Word of God. And I'm afraid today that we've lost that art in our society and in our pulpits, and I'm preaching to myself, that we don't take advantage of the opportunities and we don't go looking for the opportunities, and we think, well, if it don't happen inside the four walls of the church, that it's not of God. Well, that's not true. Because the Lord was out on the boat that day, out on the sea, and He was teaching the Word of God. May I say, sometimes we need to get creative in our ministering to a lost and a dying world. The Lord didn't say, hey, you come back, you be at the church down at the temple Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and I'll teach you. You come back Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we'll have Sunday school. When the crowd was there, the Lord took the opportunity to teach the Word of God. May God help us to look for opportunities outside the four walls of our church to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice there, as He launched out in the deed and He taught the Word of God, and He's commanded now the boat. He stepped on Peter's boat and He's the one in command and He's the one in charge. And Peter's just saying, yes, Lord. And not knowing exactly what the Lord had in store for Peter and the rest of them that night. But as Peter there was obedient in the little things, and as he understands sometimes in the little things of life, it's good, it's easy to obey. But then I notice here as the Bible goes on and He taught them, and when He had ended, left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and launch your nets. Now understand something. Let me show you something else right here. If you'll notice here in this very next verse, the Bible said, He said, we've toiled all the night. Now this must have been during the day sometime. And they had toiled all night long fishing. Now listen to me. They were washing their nets, getting ready to go home. They was discouraged. They hadn't caught no fish. And if you go fishing and you don't catch fish, it's discouraging. I don't care if you fish 5 minutes, 30 minutes, or 3 hours. Amen? I like catching. I don't like fishing. All right? But they, as they was there, and the Lord, you know, that I think as Peter, He said, launch out a little bit from the shore. He said, cast out a little from the shore. And Peter said, yeah, that's good. And then I can imagine Peter there that night, that day, and the Lord said, Peter, launch out into the deep. Now listen to me just a moment. We're not real careful. We'll miss what God has for us because we'll let our physical tiredness override what God's trying to do for us. Because if I was Peter and I'd said, "Now, Lord, I've been up all night fishing. You commandeered my boat. And Lord, you've taught those people. But Lord, I sure would like to go home. And you're wanting to go out into the deep." Now, Peter, we're not recorded of Peter saying that. But I just picture with Peter with his attitude, because I'm a lot like Peter. He's probably thinking that. And how many times in our life have we missed what God has for us because we let our physical ailments override what God's trying to do for us? But Peter said, all right, he said he launched out into the deep. And then, notice this. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And see, here's where Simon is a little apprehensive. We'll see the callousness of the direction. I kind of got dumped ahead of myself. He said, "Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing." Notice the confidence that Peter speaks with. "Lord, I fished all my life. My daddy was a fisherman. My grandpa was a fisherman. Lord, we fish. I make my living fishing. Okay? Lord, I fished all night long on this sea. Lord, I know this sea. I know where every reef is. I know where every deep hole is. Lord, we fished this thing hard all night long. And we've caught nothing. Lord, I'm a good fisherman. I don't need you telling me how to fish." You know what he says? He says, "Sir, you're telling us to go fish, and I don't know why you're trying to give me new direction, but last night we fished all night long. I know how to fish." The callousness that comes in our life to the direction of God when we begin to put confidence in our own self. And he said, "But nevertheless, you know, at thy word." Now understand, Peter wasn't being disrespectful to the Lord, because notice the respect that he showed him. He said, "Master." But he was reluctant in his following. He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, Lord, I've toiled all night long. Lord, we've done that before. We've been down that road. I done tried that. But Lord, just because I love you and because I respect you, I'll do it your way." Now remember, the Lord has commandeered the boat. The Lord's the one who's commanding where they fish, how they fish, when they're going to fish. And if we're not careful in our life, we want the Lord to captain our boat and captain our own personal ship, and the Lord to lead us and the Lord to guide us. But when He starts giving us directions, if we're not careful, we'll get callous to His directions and we'll be very reluctant to what He's telling us to do. Amen. Because we're going to put our confidence in our own abilities and our past abilities and our past experiences and our past failures and our past successes. And that's exactly what Peter was doing. He had recognized him at who he was, but he forgot that he was the Creator. He forgot that he was the one that was sent from God. Man, and say, may I say unto you, sometimes in our lives when the Lord tells us to launch out a little from the shore, or thrust out a little from the shore, we're okay with that. But when He says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets," if we're not careful, we'll get very reluctant, just like Peter did. "Nevertheless, I'll let down my nets." Now notice what the Lord said. "Launch into the deep and let down your," what? "Nets." Let down your nets. Multiple. Not one. More than one. I don't know if it was two or three or four. But he said, boys, let down your nets. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night, taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I will let down the net. Not the nets. Lord, I'll let down the net. Lord, I don't know why you have me doing this, because, Lord, it ain't going to work. But just to prove you wrong, so I can say that I'm obedient to what you've told me to do, I'll let down a net. I'll let it down, Lord, because you've asked me to, or you've told me to. And, man, is that not how we are? We ask God for good things. We ask God for great things. And when God begins to give us instructions and God begins to commandeer our boat and God begins to wants to do things for us and bless us beyond measure and show us great and mighty things and do great, wonderful works, because that's what He's wanting to do here for these men. We say, well, you know, there ain't no sense in me calling that person, inviting them to church. I done invited them four times. I've invited my son. Ain't no sense in me calling them again. I called them last Sunday. Ain't no sense in me handing out a tract. Ain't no sense in me knocking on no doors. Ain't no sense in me doing none of that. I've tried. Nevertheless, Lord, it's your word. I'll do it one more time. One more time, Lord. Just to appease you and to say that I've been obedient. And as he let down the net there, and he told the man, he said, the boys, he said, cast that net over the side. Do you understand this? The same Lord that's commandeered that boat is fixing to commandeer these fish. See, we tend to forget that He's the Creator of all things, and by Him all things consist. He's fixing to tell those fish, get in the net. It's not what the fishermen are doing. It's what the Lord's doing for the fishermen. See, He's commandeered a fish one other time in the Word of God. These mariners throwed this man overboard, and he told his whale to come swallow him up. And he says, you're going to hold him in your gut for 3 days. Don't you spit him out. You're going to want to. I don't know. Did y'all see any of y'all, and some of y'all on social media and stuff, did y'all see where that kayaker got swallowed by that whale up? Was it Washington or Alaska? Me and you was watching that. Did y'all see that? You know, they get out there kayaking around them big blue whales, and man, that thing come up and it eat that guy. I mean, and it automatically spit him back out. But I mean, he went in the mouth of the thing. I mean, I'm like, if you're foolish enough to get out there on a kayak with whales that's 900 times bigger than you are, you just go ahead. I mean, but anyway. The whale, what I was saying, that whale spit that kayaker, I mean, just automatically back out. But God told Jonah, I mean, that whale, He says, you take Jonah, and it's going to take him 3 days because the Lord knows everything.
Right.
He told that fish, He said, he's going to cause you heartburn for a while. He said, but you keep him in your belly for 3 days. And when I tell you to, you're going to take him over there to the shore of Nineveh and you're going to vomit him up when I'm done with it. I also recall another time where he commandeered a donkey. Balaam was riding that donkey there, and all of a sudden the donkey run into the wall because he seen the angel of the Lord. Balaam beat the donkey. And then got back on and went again and beat his wall, knocked his leg into the wall, and Balaam beat the donkey. And then the donkey spoke. God commandeered ravens to feed Elijah.
Amen.
He took command over them. And understand, as they let down the boat there, the net there that day, understand, the Bible says there that when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. Understand this, the Bible says there, let out your net, look at verse 4, and let down your nets for a drought. That means a great catch. Do you realize that in their obedience to the Lord, that they caught more fish in one net than they had ever caught in their life? Because what does the Bible say? The Bible says there, what does he say? And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their nets break. Their net break. And they beckon unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. I mean, Brother Green, God said, hey, let me show you what I can do if you'll just follow me. He just didn't fill one boat, he filled two boats. And he knew exactly how many fish it was to fill them boats up to get them to the point of sinking. With one net. Not two, not three, not four. One net. But that net break. We're talking about preaching on broken things. The net break. See, sometimes in our life when we're disobedient to the full command of God, God allows things of ours to break. God said, I tried to tell you to let down two nets or three nets because I had a blessing for you that was beyond one net. But understand this, as that net break, this is what I seen today, Brother Green. With one broken net, they caught enough fish to fill two boats up that they began to sink. One. Now, you say, well, what's the story behind this broken net? Here's the story. Here's how God uses broken things. Notice what happened to Peter. The Bible says there, when Simon Peter, what? Saw it. I'm in verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it. When Simon Peter, the fisherman who had been fishing all of his life, saw what God did in just a few moments. Not what Peter could do, but what God could do. What did Simon Peter do? The Bible says that he fell at Jesus' feet. And he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. We see the consecration of Peter. God used that broken net to destroy Peter's pride. Because remember, he said, Lord, we fished all night long. But nevertheless, it's your word, Lord, I'm an experienced fisherman. And not only as Peter destroyed, God used the broken net to break Peter's pride. Notice what the Bible goes on to say in verse number 11. And they forsook all and followed Him. Now let me ask you this. Do you think if they had only caught 10 fish? You think Peter would have said the same thing would have happened?
No.
If they'd caught a half a boat of fish? Peter said, that's beginner's luck. What God wants from us is for us to realize that He knows more than we know.
Amen.
That's what the story's about. He said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Jesus Christ, in His working and that breaking of that net with that multitude of fishes, used that in Peter's life, in James and John's life. Because understand this, what does the Bible say in verse number 11? They forsook what? All. Go to Matthew chapter number. Mark chapter number 4, I think it is. Let me look. Mark chapter 1, and Matthew chapter 4. Go to Matthew 4 and then Mark chapter number 1. When I hear the pages stop, I'll read Mark chapter 4, or Matthew 4. Verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He said unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. The next place is Mark chapter number 4. Said it was Mark 4. Mark 1, I'm sorry. Mark 1, verse number 16. Here's the same account of Matthew 4. Now as He walked by the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and Andrew, His brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after Me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed Him. Y'all see that? See, this is not the same time when Jesus walked by there, the Sea of Galilee, and He saw Peter and Andrew fishing. He said, follow Me. They left their nets. But when the Lord got on Peter's boat and the boats began to sink, what does the Bible say they forsook? All. They just didn't forsake their nets. And you could say, well, this is same passage, same calling. No, go back, study it out. And this is here, this is after Peter's mother is healed. You go back when He called them and they forsook their nets. It was before Peter's mother was healed. Go home and read your Gospels and you'll see that. See, what God's trying to get us to do, Brother Green, is to forsake all of our ways, all of our ideas, all of our knowledge, all of our wisdom, all of our intellect, all of our experience, and forsake it all and just follow Him. See, they'd forsaken their nets before, but they had never forsaken all. And it took God using a broken net. He done such a great work that it busted at the seams. And they said, wow, what a God. I think I'll just go with God, they said. Man, can you imagine the stories that they had to tell? Why are you following Him? Well, we decided to walk with Him one day, and we began to follow Him. But man, when we seen if we'd just be obedient to His command, even though we don't always understand it, and even though we may not always agree with it, and 24 hours ago, or less than maybe 12 hours ago, we was doing the same thing. But when we let Him take over and commandeer our ship, and we let Him give directions, and we let Him make the decisions, and we just be obedient servants, it's amazing what God can do. You don't know what, church? God wants to fill our boats, okay? So they begin to sink. And I'm not talking with money. I'm talking about with the blessings of God. God wants to fill our church that it bust at the seams. But we're going to have to be obedient. And we're going to have to let the Lord take control. And we're going to have to let the Lord take charge. And if He says thrust out a little bit, guess what? We need to thrust out a little bit. If He says launch out into the deep, we need to launch out into the deep. If He says let down your net, God help us that we wouldn't just let one down, we'd let them all down. God used a multitude of fishes to break that net to get the attention of these men and to let them be amazed at what God could do if they would just follow Him. Let me ask you, have you ever had a net-breaking experience with God? Not a neck-breaking, but a net-breaking. I want to. I want to be able to look back and say, man, look what God's did. Remember that message, good things and great things? See, I want God to do good things, but I want to experience some great things. But God used that broken net, but He did it because they were not obedient to start with. But then, in their reluctance, they began to be obedient. And God said, let me show you just what I can do. I want God to command my ship. I don't want to be reluctant in His directions. I want Him to command my ship in my family. I want Him to command my ship in my business, in my home, in my ministry, every aspect of it. I want Him to step on board my boat and say, all right, boys, I'm here. It's kind of like over there in Joshua over there, and I want Miss Evelyn to come to the piano. I don't really know how to give an invitation. But kind of like, Joshua over there. Joshua walked up there on that hill that day and met the captain of the host of the Lord, which is a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And Joshua drew out his sword and he said, are you for us or for your adversary? And he said, neither one. He said, as captain of the host of the Lord, I'm now come. You know what he said? He said, I just come to take over. I've come to lead you into the promises that I have for you. May God help us not be reluctant when the Lord commandeers our boat. We're standing all over the house.